Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that's faced that don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ as presented in His Gospels and apply it into my daily living so that I can become, well, a light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom. Not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. And I'm so glad you could join us today. Let us put ourselves in the presence of God. Let us quiet our mind. You know, we spend so much time running here and running there and doing this and doing that. How often do we just stop and say, what am I doing? Where am I going? The good news about the good news is that God wants to lead you, and He does it in many, many ways. And one of the most powerful ways He does it is through His Word, because His Word is alive and it will speak to you where you are. It is my prayer for me, my prayer for you, that God speaks to you today. What do you say? I quit yipping about this and we get right on into it. We are hearing from the Gospel of Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? They were testing Him. He said to them in reply, what did Moses command you? They replied, Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her. But Jesus told them, because of the hardness of your hearts, He wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, this is tough stuff. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back and we will talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today, we got a tough show. It's a difficult show because today we're going to be talking about a difficult issue. It's a painful issue. It's an issue that hits home for many of us. And of course, I'm talking about the issue of marriage and divorce. Let me begin with a painful statistic. Just about 50% of all marriages in this country fail. Which, when you think about it, that's heads or tails. That's a coin flip. So given that statistic, I'm keenly aware that there are many people who might be watching right now who have been deeply affected by this issue and have very strong feelings in regards to this issue. So today I'm walking the tightrope between pastoral sensitivity and preaching God's Word, which sometimes can have rough edges. And that's certainly the case today. So where to begin? marriage and divorce. What does God have to say about divorce? Well, to begin to answer that question, let us crawl into the Wayback Machine and go way back into the Old Testament to a prophet. His name was Nehemiah. Of course, we know that a prophet, by definition, is somebody who speaks for God. Now, Nehemiah showed up at a very difficult time in Jewish history. Babylonia had conquered Israel and taken many of the men off as slaves. And as they did this, as was their habit, when they were conquering a foreign land, they imported up to at least 5 different ethnic groups into Israel. And they had a reason for doing this. By doing this, they felt that they could dilute the blood of Judaism, quell any nationalistic feelings, and reduce the chances of rebellion. So time went on, and Assyria conquers Babylonia. Now, when the Assyrians took charge, they decided to free the Jewish captives and allow them to return to their homeland. Oh, happy day. And this is when the prophet Nehemiah steps onto the scene. So he begins to encourage the Israelites to return to Yahweh, rebuild the temple, and to no longer act as slaves in captivity. So it must have been a joyous time, but this joy would be short-lived, because soon the prophet Nehemiah becomes enraged by what he sees. Because evidently, during the Babylonian captivity, many of the men who had been left behind had married foreign women who had been imported by Babylonia. So the prophet Nehemiah wrote, "Moreover, in those days I saw men of Judea who had married women from Ashad, Ammon, Moab. This is a problem. Not only due to the fact that they had mixed their blood with foreigners, but many of these men had divorced their wives to do so. And in doing so, they had compromised the family unit." Now, there was another prophet at the same time named Malachi who wrote in regards to this issue, "The Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, whom you have dealt with treacherously. Though she is your companion wife by covenant." And just to make sure that his point is clear, Malachi went on to write, "I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel." So you can't get much clearer than that. Now, I understand this is pretty harsh. Given the fact that 50% of all marriages fail, this is not a popular message, but this is the history. So 400 years go by, and we come to our gospel today. We are in the Gospel of Mark. The Pharisees approach Jesus and ask, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. So we have Jesus. He has crossed over the River Jordan into Judea, and the Pharisees are lying in wait. They don't like Jesus. They want to take him out. They're not interested in a debate. They're not trying to figure him out. They're not even trying to discredit him. They want him dead, period. We're talking hate here. And hate can be a very powerful thing. So they had been trying for some time to take him out, but nothing had worked. So now they come with this very carefully crafted question. The Pharisees approached and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" Now, it might come as a surprise to some. It certainly did for me. But divorce within this culture at this time was actually pretty common, particularly among the leadership. The Pharisees, who were the spiritual examples for all the people, they divorced all the time. And they, of course, were following the tradition of the elders. Now, the tradition of the elders were split on this issue. There were two schools of thought when it came to divorce. The first, led by Rabbi Hillel, and the second by Rabbi Shimi. We can think of these men as representing both the liberal wing as well as the conservative wing of politics. Let us begin with Rabbi Hillel, the liberal wing. He writes that a man can divorce his wife for any reason. He actually wrote unload that woman for any reason. Maybe she spun around and her ankles were shown, you know, or maybe she burnt dinner, or maybe she made a rude comment about your mother, or maybe you just found another woman you like better. I mean, it didn't matter. So that's Rabbi Hillel. Now, on the other side of this argument or this issue is Rabbi Shimi. And he writes, the only reason for divorce is porneia, or what we know as fornication. So the only reason you're justified to have a divorce is when the marital covenant is broken because your spouse was unfaithful. Period. That's it. So these are the two different schools of thought. Like I said, liberal versus conservative. I imagine Rabbi Hillel would have been very comfortable in Hollywood, while Rabbi Shimi would have probably preferred Iowa. So anyway, getting back to our gospel today, the Pharisees approach Jesus and they ask a question. Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? They were testing him. Now, before we go any further, we need to understand, they were testing him. What that means is that this was not an authentic question, because an authentic question seeks information. And that is clearly not the purpose of this question, clearly not the motivation. They're not seeking information. This question is seeking to divide, much like the questions that are posed on cable news today. And they had picked this issue of divorce because it was, as it remains today, a hot button issue. It divided the people. So I guess they figured that if they could get Jesus to make a stand on this issue, they will divide the crowd. And in doing so, they would win. But there's another motivation that I'm seeing here. I mean, keep in mind where he is. He's in Judea, which is the land of King Herod. And of course, we know that King Herod was a paranoid psychopathic killer who had many of his own family murdered. We also know that King Herod had begun to lust over his own brother's wife, Philip. Her name was Herodias. So in time, King Herod divorced his own wife, Philip divorced his, and King Herod married Herodias, even though she was already his sister-in-law, which of course is against Levitical law, which was not lost on John the Baptist, who saw King Herod as the embodiment of everything that had gone wrong with Judaism. So he gets into the face of King Herod and he says, you have broken the law of God, you are an adulterer, and so is your wife. He spoke truth to power, which, my friends, can be a very dangerous thing to do. So as you might imagine, this did not go over very well, and it enraged both King Herod and Herodias. And so John the Baptist is arrested and put into prison. Now in time, the daughter of Herodias performs a dance for Herod and his entourage. And for whatever reason, King Herod decided to offer her anything she wanted, up to half his kingdom. So she runs to go ask her mother, Herodias, what should I ask for? Herodias now sees her opportunity for revenge and demands the head of John the Baptist on a platter. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, okay? So Herod, he's now backed into a corner with his pride, and so he acquiesces. And off with his head. Something I'm sure that Herod would come to regret. So I bring all of that up to say this. I'm thinking that this might have been in the back of the minds of these Pharisees. This might have been a motivation behind this question. Because perhaps they're thinking that if they can get Jesus to say such a thing, that, well, maybe Jesus will be beheaded as well. So they approach Jesus and they ask him in front of everybody, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And in typical rabbinical fashion, Jesus answers their question with another question. What did Moses command you? And they replied, well, Moses permitted us to write her a bill of divorce and dismiss her. Now watch this. He asked, what did Moses command you? Now that word command is very interesting because, of course, Moses never commanded them to do anything in regards to divorce. That's not the word. He permitted them. Why? Well, Jesus tells us. It was because of the hardness of your hearts that he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, this was not so. God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They're no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no man must separate. That's God's plan. And divorce unravels his plan. Clearly, Moses understood this, but he had to weigh other concerns. Because remember now, in the ancient world, women and children had no rights. And if he had not made a provision for divorce, he knew there would be many a shallow grave just outside the town. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this very difficult gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking about how Moses had permitted divorce for the Israelites. But he doesn't permit divorce because of the lusts or the whims of men. He permits divorce to protect women and children. But from the beginning, this was not so. Speaking of the beginning, God created Adam. That's one. Then from Adam, he fashioned Eve. So where you had one, now you have two. Marriage is a sacrament where the two return once again to one. That is the work of God. Now, like I said, I'm keenly aware that this is difficult. Truth be told, I'd rather be talking about something else, but divorce is everywhere. I've divorced my own family. Why is it that Jesus seems to be so harsh when it comes to marriage and divorce? Well, to answer that question, we have to go all the way back to the very beginning in Genesis. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed him and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Now, when you look at the purpose of God, when you consider the will of God, from the very beginning, he creates man and woman. That's one of each. He did not create thousands of each. I suppose he could have, but he doesn't. He creates man and woman. So it is his will that they be fruitful and multiply. So it is within that union that children flow. So it is God's will from the very beginning that man and women become one with children. That is why a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. So marriage is a covenant created by God. And through this covenant, two become one. And one is indivisible. And the child, or the children, that come from the two become part of that one. So the family unit is a collection of oneness. So marriage is the work of God. Marriage is his creation. Marriage is an act of God, which is why when you look at the Ten Commandments, two of those commandments, 20%, deal with marriage. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Because, of course, coveting is where adultery begins. The lustful look, the seed is planted. That is why Jesus says, I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Because let me tell you, adultery happens long before the actual act. It's a progression. Starting with a look, the look becomes a fantasy. Then the fantasy in time becomes a possibility. Then the possibility in time becomes a probability, and then it's just a matter of time. Finally, the probability becomes actuality, but it all starts with a thought, just a little glance. But getting back to divorce, where does it come from? And why is it so prevalent in our world today? Well, to answer that question, again, we have to revisit Genesis, third chapter, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know the story. We know the story about the forbidden fruit and the snake, and we know all that. But what is often overlooked from that story is the curse that comes from that fall. Because after Adam and Eve had sinned, God told Adam he is cursed to toil in the ground all the days of his life to create food, and that he would have no rest, and that someday he's going to die, because from dust he came, and to dust he would return. That's what he says to Adam. But then he turns to Eve, and he says, I will make your pains of childbearing severe, and with painful labor you will give birth to children. But then he says something very interesting. He says, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, from the very beginning, God created them as co-equals. Nobody was ruling over anybody. But the curse from the fall, the legacy of original sin, is that there will be a battle in marriage, because now both have a fallen nature. And of course, a battle or a conflict is what leads to divorce. And anybody who has ever been involved with this issue knows that the brunt of the suffering in the conflict always falls on the children. Like I said, this is tough stuff, but this is the nature of Scripture. Sometimes it can be very tough. Please understand that I am not standing in judgment here. I'm just the messenger. I've never been married myself. I can't speak with real authority on this subject, but I've been around a lot of marriages, and I can attest that even the best of marriages require work, because marriage is hard. And perhaps if we understood that marriage is the work of God and it's a covenant, we might be inclined to treat marriage with a little more reverence and care and work a little harder. Perhaps. Because if there's one thing I know about marriage, is that it does require a lot of work. Two becoming one might sound real poetic, but it ain't easy. It does not happen overnight. It requires work, day in, day out. So, like I've said many times, this is a very difficult subject, given the fact that there's 50% of all marriages in this country fail. I imagine there's many people listening to me right now that have been deeply affected by this issue. In fact, I'd go as far as to say as there might be some people listening right now that might have a sense of guilt and shame regarding this issue. And if that is you, let me refer you to 1 John, 9th verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Welcome, my friends, to the cross. We are all sinners, period. Getting back to 1 John, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us. So yeah, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. If we weren't, we wouldn't be in need of a Savior. But we are and we do. Yes, my friend, we are all sinners. We are all in need of a Savior. When Jesus died on the cross, He died to purify us from all unrighteousness. My sin, your sin, our fallen nature, our shadow, our secret self, standing in the presence of God, white as snow. Imagine that. Welcome to the cross. Let us stand in the shadow of that cross. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.